Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
While Christmas is one of the celebrations that Christians enjoy, Holy Week is one of the most celebrated events that Christians also enjoy. One represents the birth of Christ, while the other represents and focuses on the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's very easy to misunderstand what Easter or Holy Week is, granted that there are so many deviants and so many ways that people celebrate it. The Easter egg, for example, has no connection with the death and resurrection of Christ. Apart from just the nuances and the wrong things that are happening all around us during the week of Easter or Lent, there are weird things that Christians practice about this whole tradition. And for the most part, these are not really just what the Bible teaches. So today, I want to start with a series of messages that bring us to a journey with Jesus as he went on his way to the cross. The Bible talks to us about this journey in various places in the gospel. In fact, one of the most depicted, talked about, written about story about Jesus is this moment just before he goes to the cross. In John chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley on the other side, and there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it." I want to focus your attention on the words, "there was a garden." Now, while the Bible is very famous for the Garden of Eden, I want to talk to you about into the other garden. This is the garden where we find Jesus, the place which is called the Garden of Gethsemane, and the first place where we find Jesus as he makes his way to the cross. In Matthew chapter 26, which accounts for the same journey or the same place, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here and I will go there and pray." Notice the words Garden of Gethsemane, or the words Gethsemane, which speaks again of this garden. Further in the next verse, he says, "He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled." The words sorrowful and troubled brings us to the first thing that I want to talk about, the place where we find Jesus on his way to the cross. It is the place of weakness. It's interesting that Jesus, knowing that he is God and who is God, showed this moment of sorrow and weakness. In Matthew 20, verse 17, it says, "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem on the way with the 12 aside and said to them," this is the prelude to this moment of sorrow. Now he says in verse 18, predicting, literally talking about his own suffering and death, "We're going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death." Jesus knew fully well what was going to happen. And yet in the midst of that, we find that verse in Matthew 26, verse 36, where his humanity shows up. He actually says this, and he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." This is the moment where we find the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus revealed in knowing that while he knew that the inevitable was around the corner, it reveals his humanity as it draws closer. The reality of his weakness. Further, it says here, he says, "Stay here with me and keep watch with me." Let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself overwhelmed? This is the place what we will learn from Jesus, the place of weakness, the place of our vulnerability, and secondly, the place of loneliness. While he had brought other people with him to give him some strength, we find in Matthew 26, verse 40, when he returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to them, "Couldn't you men watch with me for even an hour?" Peter asked. Imagine being at the lowest point of your life. Literally, the place where you are in complete sorrow, overwhelmed to the point of death, and you find that the very people that you are depending on or trusting sleeping or couldn't care less about the thing that you were worried about or concerned about. Further, in verse 42, it says, he went away a second time and prayed. And in verse 43, it says, when he came back, he again found them sleeping. Now, it's one thing when you realize that people don't care about the very thing that overwhelms you, but when they keep doing it, something hard happens to our hearts. When we realize that we're on our own, and because their eyes were really heavy, in other words, he was not just overwhelmed, he even felt abandoned. Or have you ever even felt abandoned yourself or alone? This is the place, not just of weakness, but the place of loneliness. And this is where we found Jesus as he journeys closer and closer to the greatest event of our faith. Finally, the place of anguish. In Luke chapter 22, which accounts for the same moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, it talks about Jesus being in anguish, and he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, anguish is simply this: severe mental torment to the point that it affects your physical body. Now, this is one-off, right? I don't know if I've actually had this level of anguish, but I do remember moments in my own life where I've had anguish. And it says that he prayed more earnestly, but in the midst of that, the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, medical science today tells us that this is actually a medical condition. It's called hematohidrosis, a medical condition where the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture from extreme emotional stress, causing the blood to be mixed with one's sweat. This Bible actually is explained by medical science. And here we find the place of Jesus: overwhelmed, abandoned, alone, in anguish. When you and I find ourselves in this, it's a good thing to remember that Jesus went through this. But that the core of the anguish of Jesus was not the mental or the physical torment or the idea that this was going to happen to him. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with not wanting to experience pain. The core of the issue was this: Jesus, in his humanity, was faltering in his weakness and even being alone, but now was internally conflicted. Thus, he says, "Father, could you keep this cup away from me?" To be internally conflicted, or to know that something has to be done and done right, but something in you refuses to do it, is an internal conflict that gives a lot of mental anguish. It's one thing to say no to a donut or an apple, or to choose an internal conflict knowing that something is right and the other thing is wrong. But there's some conflicts, internal conflicts, that are far more serious and have far more bad consequences than just our health or deciding between a donut and an apple. The issue is the internal tug of war that boils down to this one simple thought: are you willing to choose the will of God regardless? Are you willing to do what God's will is, regardless of whether it becomes to your disadvantage, it becomes to your embarrassment, it becomes to your pain and hurt, because you realize deep down inside that whatever God's will ultimately be for your own good and for a destiny that he has to fulfill in your life. This is the place of the first journey of Jesus: the place of weakness, the place of loneliness, and the place of anguish. The interesting thing about this story, or this journey rather, is point number two: the posture. What was the posture? What did Jesus do? Well, we find repeatedly that he prayed. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 says, "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down," and there it is, he prayed. Prayer is still by far the most important thing you could ever do, including what Jesus did when you're overwhelmed, when you're lonely and alone, and when you're at the place where you are in anguish. But here's what he did: he withdrew. And that's something you and I need to learn. We need to learn that part of this is withdrawal and being alone with God. There are just some things that cannot be remedied even by your friends, even by your family, and even by the very people who love you, that you can only withdraw and go to God. And there we find Jesus in verse 42 talking to his Father. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." You know, when you're alone with God, if there's anything you need to do, is to tell God what you really want to do or don't want to do. Here's Jesus saying, "Father, I don't really want to do this." And if there's anything you need to do when you're alone with God, by the way, this is the story of my life. I have issues. You have issues. And the one thing you need to do if you're going to withdraw and pray to God is be honest with him. Tell him, "God, I've got this issue. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the strength. I want to get out of here." Rather than withdraw from the situation, withdraw to God. Pray to him. Tell him, "Lord, I'm crying out to you. I don't want to do this, but yet not my will, but yours be done." An abandonment that says not an adamant the demand from God, from the Father, but an abandonment and that saying couched in a surrender that says, God, I want your will. Because I know that regardless of how bad things may play out, it is for my good, it is for my best. You know, when you find yourself, when your rope at the end of the rope, and not just at the end of your rope, but your rope is actually fraying at the seams and life seems to be falling apart, wait. Wait on God to give you strength, which is the second thing that happened in Jesus' posture. He prayed, and after he prayed, he received. In verse 42, he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Look what happens in verse 43. An angel from heaven appeared to him and what? Strengthened him. When God and you are alone, many times it might not be that you would get what you were asking from God. But one thing is for sure. When you withdraw and pray to God, God will strengthen you the same way that God strengthened his son to do what? To do his will. Because God knows that there is nothing better in your life than to fulfill your destiny, and that will only happen as you live out doing his will. And thus, he needs to give you that moment to be able to withdraw, to pray, to receive, and after receiving strength, you can now do the final posture, Jesus submitted. Our lives will be filled with fun things. Eating ice cream is one of the daily delights. Great adventures that you can remember. Times with family and friends. In my case, these are grandchildren that I'm looking forward to seeing. There will be lots and lots and lots of fond memories. But I want to be clear to you, with you today. Life's not a bed of roses. There will be challenges, fears, situations, predicaments, things that you will not want to do that will reveal and expose your weaknesses. The fact that you are alone in certain things that you cannot have people to help you, and the fact that you'll have inner conflict. You need to have a posture that says, I will pray. He received and he submitted. The posture of Jesus. When we know how to pray and withdraw to God and receive strength from God and submit to God, we will be able to fulfill our destiny the same way that Jesus did. My final point is this. Remember Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet did not sin. Unable to empathize. I wanted you to look at that. Our God is not unable to empathize with us. He actually knows how we feel, went through what we feel. More importantly, he also went through the same weaknesses that you and I are experiencing. Jesus had to face the same thing, but just like him, he was tempted in every way and experienced it all. He did not sin. And we too can rise above the occasion and fulfill the destiny that God has for us. And the key is to remember Jesus. Secondly, more than just remember Jesus, pray like Jesus. When life is frayed, when things are falling apart, at any point of your weakness or even your strength, when you feel isolated and abandoned, when you feel in anguish, pray. You go to God. I like this picture of this young man sitting in this place where I find myself very often in the same spot, sitting there just praying, sitting there relaxing and knowing that God is on my side regardless of what happens. Point number two, remember Jesus, but receive like Jesus. When we pray to God and we know how to receive from God, what we're going to receive is not necessarily the thing we were asking for, but strength. Strength to be able to do what he's called us to do, and the power to be able to live out the destiny that he's prepared for us. And finally, remembering Jesus is submitting like Jesus. See, the way of God is the way of an entry point. The way of God is the way that he has prepared for you. And sometimes it might be as clear as you think it is, but when you learn to wait on God, to pray to God, to withdraw and be alone with God, that weakness, that loneliness, that lack of strength will be replaced by the very things that only God can deliver for you. As I close this message, I want to tell you a short story. A friend of mine lost his business. He went bankrupt. And his cafe is in the mall where my offices are a block away, actually two buildings away. And I often walk into that mall to get coffee, and there's no way I can get into that mall without passing by his cafe. And every time I pass by that cafe, it's empty, and all's left are plants that are literally withering and dying. And as I went there, I would always pass by there and pray for this man because he's a new believer. And I want him to know that in the midst of pain and agony and suffering and feeling alone and losing everything, that God is for him. I also looked at these plants that he left there. They're huge. And I wanted to just take them away because I wanted to preserve them. I didn't want them to die. As you know, many of you know, I'm a gardener. And every time I would pass by there, I would pray for him and I would pray for the plants. Lo and behold, last Saturday, I walked into the mall and the liquidators were there. And I asked, what are you going to do with the plants? And he said, I don't know what to do with them. I want to give them away. Do you want them? In short, I now have the plants and I put them in my office. I can't wait to meet my friend and show him how God works. That though we lose everything and think it's hopeless, that God has ways and God has ways of restoring us. When we remember Jesus, when we pray like Jesus and receive like Jesus and submit to Jesus, Jesus has ways that you and I could never even imagine. The key is to remember the place of our weakness, the place of our loneliness, the place of our anguish, and the posture of Jesus. Jesus prayed, he received, and thus he submitted. When we remember Jesus, we remember that he's just like us. And when we do pray like him, and we do receive the strength of the Father like him, we will be able to submit to God's will and fulfill our destiny. Join me in this short word of prayer. And I just want to say a short prayer for my friend while I'm here. Lord, I pray for my friend Frankie that he will continue to find his strength in you in the midst of loss. Father, thank you. And Jesus, praise you, Lord, for showing us that we can have victory in the midst of our weakness, loneliness, and anguish. For teaching us to pray to receive strength and to submit to your will in any and every way of our lives. For we know that your will and desire for us is nothing short of what's best. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.